This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Vermont lawmakers are considering a bill to create an artificial intelligence task force. If the bill wins approval, Vermont will be the first state in the country to take this step. Milo Kress is a junior at Champlain Valley Union High School, and he's very interested in this subject. So interested that he came down to the statehouse this winter to testify in favor of this bill. Recently, I had a chance to sit down and talk to Milo. I found his knowledge and commitment to this issue to be remarkable. I asked him why he's so interested in the topic of artificial intelligence.
I think it all started when I was fascinated by how machines could learn, how processes which seem deterministic, if you give it one input, it'll give you a set output. How can you get it to change and adapt and act intelligently? And it's a fascinating question that I'm still exploring now. And it's a question that I think will shape a lot of technology in the future, because the ability for machines to think creatively and adapt to challenges is going to present a lot of ethical and technological and legal challenges. And I think those questions, the questions that arise, are very important to answer. As we're learning more about these technologies, we'll learn more about what the bounds of them are. I'm not sure how far along we can go. I'm not sure if systems can at some point become conscious, or if, you know, the doom and gloom predictions that are popular in movies can one day become a reality. I'm not sure. But I think right now we're at a point where we can see the vast potential of these technologies. And it's something that truly fascinates me. And it makes me want to learn more about them and explore them in greater depth.
So why do you think there's so much at stake with the development of artificial intelligence?
It raises a bunch of questions. The development of artificial intelligence makes us ask ourselves what it means for us to be intelligence. When we exhibit intelligence, we think of it as a human trait, and it's what's differentiated us from other animals as we've evolved. But some artificial intelligence technologies are doing just that, using genetic algorithms to evolve and adapt to changes in their environment. And that's a really fascinating thing. And I think what's at stake here is, in the short term, our ability to trust these systems, to act without bias, to act without error, and to act in a fair-minded way, something that we often can't trust people to do. What we'll learn is what it means to be human and what the ethics of consciousness and of intelligence are. And I think that's something that's being addressed even today. And I think it's something that we need to address today. It's something that we need to figure out before these technologies become conscious. And there's no guarantee that they will. We aren't at the point right now, as far as I know, that any machines have. But we have to have a set of questions answered about what the moral standing is of a machine that becomes conscious. We have to have those answered before we start exploring these questions.
Milo, you and I have been emailing each other about this issue for a number of weeks, and recently you wrote me, "If it's done well, there are many benefits to be gained from incorporating artificial intelligence technologies." And then you went on to say, "If done haphazardly or without any forethought, the damage could be permanent and very detrimental." What did you mean by that?
Often the question is asked, how can we pursue these new technologies, without the question being asked, how can we do it in the most responsible way? And time and again, that hasn't led us down a path towards success in the long term. And I think that artificial intelligence is no exception. Elon Musk, I believe, said that artificial intelligence is the single greatest existential threat to humanity. And I believe that, for better or worse, it's one of the last things that humans will ever need to invent. In the best case scenario, the pace of artificial intelligence's innovation will outstrip our own as it becomes able to redesign itself in a more innovative way. And then it's able to innovate more. And that feedback loop of constant redesign and innovation, many people believe, will lead to the singularity, or the melding of ourselves with AI technologies or the ascendance of AI. In the worst case scenario, as a tool, it'll work in its own interests and disregard our own interests. And in doing that, or even inventing it, could be an unethical thing to do. But in the short term, I think the problems that AI poses, or the questions that we'll have to answer before we implement AI in the mainstream, is how those biases and how those errors will play out in our society. Because there's an algorithm that's being used right now that estimates a convict's likelihood of recidivism. So parole officers and judges can see this when they're deciding how much parole to give a convict. And because of that, a lot of trust is put in the algorithm being unbiased and being able to treat each person without seeing, you know, any racial background or judging that subconsciously. But because, to the best of our knowledge, these machines don't have a consciousness, then we have to figure out where certain errors are coming from. And in this example, the algorithm was very biased against people of color. And when it made mistakes, it was much more likely to say a white person was less likely to commit a violent crime in the future and that a black person was more likely to commit a violent crime in the future. And that's a scary thought, because whether the data it's being fed is biased or whether the conclusions it's drawing are biased, there is a certain amount of bias in the system. And unless we can design systems that are transparent, that are easily debuggable, that we can figure out where the bias is coming from, then we can't trust them to make decisions that can shape people's lives.
Do we see some of the benefits and liabilities of artificial intelligence when we look at our education system? We will see programs that help teach students grammar, identify plagiarism, teach English as a second language. Those are all very good things. But at the same time, are some of these companies also collecting data on the individual students?
Often schools, when they sign up for online services, are being forced to accept terms of service that they can't negotiate. You either accept it and use the service, or you decline those terms of service and you aren't able to use it. And when valuable tools are being leveraged for a certain amount of data, then it's a hard choice that schools have to make. I hope at some point that technology providers and companies will be able to negotiate what data exactly is shared with advertisers, what data is stored by the company, and where that data is stored. Because often I've read the terms of service for technologies that are being used inside of my school and other school districts, and often data is stored in warehouses and data facilities that are not even in the United States. And the laws that apply to managing that data often are way different. Especially that's worrisome when the laws of that country mean that the country itself, the government, can access that data without notifying users. And all of this sounds pretty Orwellian until you see that data is a commodity that's traded at the same rate as many currencies. And that's a scary thought, I think. And it's not something that I, as a student, want to be caught up in.
Milo, recently you came to the State House to testify in favor of a bill that creates an artificial intelligence commission. What was your advice to lawmakers?
My advice to lawmakers was to include as many people in the discussion as possible. Because when we're developing and regulating artificial intelligence technologies, we want the developers and the regulators to be on the same page. We want everyone to know what our capabilities are and what our obligations are. As we grow along with this AI technology, it'll come to fruition as we are able to take the reins of its development. And I want, when I do help take the reins of the development of AI, for it to be in as responsible a state as possible, so that I can pass on to my children a technology which is powerful enough to change the way that we learn, but responsibly developed enough to make sure that we're still in an environment where we can learn in a safe way.
Milo Kress is a junior at Champlain Valley Union High School, and as we've heard, a strong supporter of legislation to create an artificial intelligence commission in Vermont, might be the first one in the country. Milo, many thanks for coming by and sharing your thoughts with us about this very important subject.
Thanks so much for talking to me. Have a good day.